Is Gordon Lightfoot an individual or a band?
No, he's an individual. His most famous song was...
Itchy Gitchy.
Here's some information about Gordon Lightfoot.
He's Canadian.
I wish we could do all our podcasts in that voice. Lightfoot.
If you could read my mind, that's his most famous.
If you could read my mind.
If you could read my mind, love.
Oh, yeah, okay.
What a tale my heart could tell. Just like an old-time movie. The kind the drugstore.
No. Just like a paperback. Wishing Well. There's also Just Like a Paperback Novel.
Never heard that song in my life. How are we doing over there, Brian?
Hey, we're doing great. We are recording.
Oh, we are.
We're live.
What?
From Nathan's office.
Well, I don't want to hear me singing on the beginning of this.
I do.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast. I am Nathan Smith. To my left is...
Jason Myers.
To his left is...
Steve Hopped.
And to Steve Hopped's left is...
Brian DeLay.
And that makes a circle. So, we call this...
Or a square, yeah.
Well, it's more of an oval,
Each of us are at the vertex on the square.
All right, enough about geometry.
Steve is a math teacher.
He is.
He thinks in mathanese.
So
we call this sometimes the elder meeting after show, and as it so happens today, it is Tuesday, and this is the show after the elders meeting, and Steve was leading our elders meeting today, and as we began, he took us to a passage of scripture in Isaiah, and that passage of scripture talks about how we should view the nations of the world. And so we'll probably read that at some point during this podcast. So we thought it might be helpful just in light of everything that's going on in the world today with a threat from North Korea, just all the political turmoil in our own country and a lot of big global political things happening that it would be helpful to talk about and just try to shepherd anyone who might be listening in how we look at these things from a biblical perspective.
And I think part of the maybe beneficial reason and for that is because often people have a response of fear or frustration.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying
that's bad?
Yeah, I'm saying that's bad. Saying that's not only unnecessary, I'm saying it's unbiblical. And in one sense, I think R.C. Sproul would agree that it's not even theistic to look at the world around us. And Steve was reading out of Paul David Tripp's book, Awe, this morning about...
That's A-W-E.
Yeah, A-W-E, not A-L-L. Awe as an awesome, awe-inspiring. Yeah.
Okay.
That there's a functional atheism of how we can live as if there isn't even a God when we take not about taking seriously or finding relevance or importance in world events and world leaders as much as making them seem bigger than they really are and putting them, we need to put them in proper perspective so that we don't become unduly fearful or frustrated.
Mm-hmm. And that proper perspective is a worldview that has God, a mighty, glorious, all-powerful, sovereign God at the center, and recognizing that he is in control of the things that are going on in the world, and he holds the leaders of this world in his hand, and he can change them at will. And the Bible says that the mind of the king, or the decisions of the king, are like water in his hand. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so understanding that God is over these people, and in fact, in Isaiah 40, as we're going to read here in a few minutes, that he accounts them as nothing, that they're like the chaff, that he just go blow them away and they're done. And God, however, and his word remain forever.
Yeah. So since you just referenced that, let the cat out of the bag.
Wait, who puts cats in bags? is that they mean the cats? They don't like cats?
I don't know, but I bet
I can imagine a cat going crazy in a bag.
Yeah.
We babysat some kittens this weekend for our grandkids, and we brought a bag out. They love playing in bags, yes.
The cat of the bag. Well, let the cat out. Okay.
This cat is out of the bag right now. So, Jason, would you read from Isaiah 40?
Well, to give the whole context, I'm going to start in Genesis 1:1.
Great. Sounds good.
Just kidding.
Sounds good. Read whatever you think the pertinent passages are.
Okay.
You could read the whole chapter, but...
I actually was looking at it and was seeing that the pertinent passage specifically about nations starts at verse 17 and goes on. But I do love how it starts here in verse 9 saying, "Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not." And he says, "Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." So that's the focus of this. Mm-hmm. It's good news. Don't need to fear, because when you behold God, as Steve was saying, your glorious, almighty, sovereign God who is intimately knowing about and involved in and caring for all these issues. Talking about how he will shepherd his flock, but then and protect them. But then, and finally, in verse 12, starts speaking about who God is as this shepherd and the God we should behold.
Yeah.
It says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are counted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it for silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One."
Amen.
Awesome. Maybe this would be helpful to talk about why, since scripture talks about nations, and it's actually quite a bit of political talk in scripture, talking about the interplay between nations and even, you know, First Kings and Second Kings and First and Second Chronicles. There's a whole lot about even the political intrigues between Israel and Judah and all that. So we at Piney Ridge don't, in our preaching, talk a whole lot about political things. So why is that? Do any of you gentlemen know? Do any of you pastors and preachers know?
Well, are those the same people, gentlemen and pastors?
yeah, because I think it's connected to this passage, but I want to see what you guys think.
I would just say that if the text lends itself to, whether we're reading in Romans 13 or maybe something similar to like a Isaiah 40 here, I think we would speak to some political aspects of things, but maybe not in the way that it's often done, where politics can be the focus. But that we would say that we need to see all things in light of who God is. All things, as Steve was saying, centered around, or revolving around the center who is God. So we would try to help people see here political rulers and nations and politics and politicians all needing to be, and policies, everything under God's sovereign hand. And so to see it that way. Another text might be talking about obedience to our governing rulers and authorities. Something in the book of Revelation might be talking about there's a kind of civil disobedience in some countries where people are forbidden from sharing the gospel, and relate to your politicians and leaders and rulers that way. So I think it would have to depend upon the text itself, but that we don't preach politics. We preach Christ. We preach God and all of his mm-hmm. saving glory. So that would be one answer.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys add anything to that, Brian or Steve?
Well, I think that my goal, and I think the goal of all of us when we preach, as you said, Jason, is to present a glorious God. And we want our hearts and we want the hearts of our church to be captivated by God. And we want our people to be worshiping God. And in that, to be trusting in him to the point that they are not fretting about things that are going on in the nation, not fearful or anxious. When it's not that we don't want them to be involved. It's not that politics aren't important, but worship of God is foremost.
And it puts everything else in proper perspective.
And it mm-hmm. does. And it puts mm-hmm. everything else in proper perspective so yeah. that when you are engaged in politics, that doesn't become the major thing.
Mm-hmm.
That it's always in light of the glory of God, in light of God's sovereignty and his purposes in the world and his saving grace and the glory of that.
Yeah, if our emphasis becomes what is ideal politically or in government, I think the message that can be communicated is that is where we find our hope.
Amen.
That
mm-hmm.
if our country is in a bad place politically, if we believe that the government is doing things that we disagree with and we feel compelled to fix those things, are we not communicating that our hope is in those being fixed in this world now? When I love verse 15 here, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on scales.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody considers the dust on scales when they're weighing something. And so in light of that, why would we focus on that dust when we have something much greater, much more significant that we can lead our people to?
Amen.
Yeah. So I think a common response when hearing about North Korea shooting a missile over Japan, and you know, we know that they're moving forward with the nuclear arms program, and you look at the it seems like increasing division and animosity between different factions in the U.S. You look at all these things going on. I think a common response is just anxiety, fear for me, and maybe for other people too. Sometimes the fear is not even so much for me and what's going to happen right now, but just looks like things are getting worse, and what's the future going to hold for my kids or your grandkids, Steve? You know, if things carry on like this, what's the world going to be like? Are they going to be living in a nuclear wasteland, or you know, are they going to in the U.S. Are they just going to be? Is there going to be another civil war? All these, you know, thoughts just kind of moving towards what's the worst case scenario. And so, what are some ways that you guys personally, if you deal with that kind of anxiety and fear, that you deal with that, and then maybe just in your families, how do you lead your wife and kids to deal with those kind of fears?
I think political jokes always solve the issue. Good ones.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Steve, do you have any political... No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. I think, for me, my mind goes to two places. One is eternity. That the end is already secured, the victory Amen. Is already won,
mm-hmm.
that our hope, as Brian was saying, is not that the earth right now is we can somehow manhandle it into becoming or voted in, or we can somehow fix it so that it is heaven now, but that we do know one day heaven and earth will be one, and there will be a unity of all creation, all people that are on this earth will be the people of God, and he will be with them as their savior, their king. And so it'll be a perfect kingdom. And so we mm-hmm. have that promise that Jesus has started that work. He has secured that work. He has purchased the fullness of that. So that's where our hope is. And so it puts us there. Instead of just thinking of in terms of, oh, what's going to happen in the next 20 years or next 6 months or even the next 200 years? What about the next 250 trillion years? Like we have a God who's outside of and bigger than time and history, and we think of American history as being such a big deal, but it's mm-hmm. actually really small just mm-hmm. in the course of human history.
Yeah.
And how many cultures, how many kingdoms have risen and fallen? And sometimes you read about, you know, kingdoms and civilizations that were really strong for 400 years or for 600 years, and you're going, well, we've only been a nation for not even half of 400. Not of 900. It's not even close. So just perspective of the eternity that God has secured us. The other thing, though, I would say is what it says here in Isaiah 40, verse 26 says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these things. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing." Not one of the stars, not one is missing. And he says, follow up in verse 27, "So then why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? If he can hold the stars together, he can hold our life together, he can hold our nation together, he can hold it, this entire universe together. He has proven to be doing so from the beginning of time." So that he actually is active, which goes on to say basically that very thing, that God doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He's not clueless, going, "I don't know what I'm going to do next." Mm-hmm. He's not searching for answers, and he's not searching for the help or power to do it. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That we must have a, yes, an involved, active kind of waiting, but we need to have a kind of peaceful, trusting waiting in God to be active now. Mm-hmm. That, yes, one day he will make it all complete, but it's not just though he's saying, "Well, I'll see you guys later. When it's all said and done, I'll come back." Mm-hmm. He's constantly active. He is renewing our strength, and he can do that today.
Yeah.
I think that anxiety that occurs in situations where we're worried about what's North Korea going to do, what's going to happen in our country, a lot of it has to do with our feeling of powerlessness mm-hmm. and our feeling of that we don't control. We feel like when we're thinking wrongly, when we have the wrong worldview, we get in a feeling that we're controlling our little world around us.
It makes it feel safe.
Yeah, and we think we're safe because of that, and then all of a sudden we're reminded that we're not in control. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, that's a good thing to get us out of that. But I think that we need to remember that, and I think it's good to feel powerless, because it says what you just read, that God will, if we're waiting on the Lord, that he will renew the strength of those that are powerless, that he will help the faint to run and not be weary. But that only happens when we're trusting in God, when we are meditating on his greatness, and when we are seeing the world in the proper perspective, that God is in the center of it, that God is in control, the God who set all the stars in place, who knows not only their number, but their names, that he's in control, and he hasn't forgotten us, and he's going to work everything out according to his eternal purposes, and we can rest in that, we can trust in that. And so I think that if we can, you asked how can we lead our families, and I think we first have to lead our own hearts in this, to get into the proper perspective and to rest in God's sovereignty, God's wisdom, God's omnipotence, and the fact that he is in control of these things, and we don't have to try to control them. And we don't have to try to create this false sense of safety. We are safe. We are eternally his.
Yeah.
No matter what happens in the world. And when we can get our own hearts pointed that way, then we can in turn lead our family in that same way.
Yeah, that's good.
Great encouragement for me, and we've talked about this quite a bit in my family as well, that God is not reacting to the events of history, but that he's the one taking the initiative.
Amen.
Is Isaiah 44. Where 100 years before Cyrus is ever born, he says, "For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by name," speaking of Cyrus, "I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things." And so it is God's divine initiative. It is his sovereign working in the world, both now for the events that are going to occur 100 years from now, 200 years from now. And we can be very encouraged by that God's not always trying to play catch up with world events.
Amen.
We look at the leader of North Korea, and maybe we're fearful, maybe we're surprised by that. But God has known before time began that he was going to bring about the events that we're going through today. And we have a good and loving and trustworthy God that that we can rest in, even in the midst of all those things.
Yeah, so that even if our worst case scenario comes to pass, it's still not outside of God's ultimate plan, his sovereign plan in his hand, and his plan for us as his people, his good purposes for us. And so I think what we're all saying is that to counteract anxiety, fear, we need to meditate on who God is, meditate on passages like Isaiah 40, meditate on God's, all the omnis of God, his omniscience, his
omnipotence.
Yeah. Omnipowerence is what I was going to say. Omnipotence.
His omnigoodness.
Yeah. Yeah. All of those, just that God is in control of everything. He's planning, he's working out his plan. So we need to be filling our minds with that. There's also the news reports that are coming in that, you know, things we read on the internet, things that we hear, things that we see that are taking up space in our minds and our hearts as well. So just on a real practical level, what do you guys think about? So I read a book called Entertaining Ourselves to Death.
Amusing Ourselves to Death.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Amusing Ourselves to Death. That has to do with entertaining ourselves to death.
It does.
I did read the book. It's probably on my shelf.
You just didn't read the
there.
Title.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I do remember, apart from the title, is that he talked about how since the telegraph was invented, we have quick access to all kinds of information that we can do absolutely nothing about. You can hear about, you know, something that happened on the other side of the world, whether it's a train accident or
Hurricane Irma
or a hurricane or a lot of these things we really can't do anything about. And so he talks in the book about how that just increases our stress level because we have all the sense of impending doom and we really can't take any action in regards to these things. So what do you guys think on a practical level, like what's a wise way to handle all this information? Because you could sit and read news articles all day long about people being murdered, about people drowning, about how, you know, this all this political stuff, and you can be consumed with it. So just what's some practical advice for people on how to handle those kind of things? Just take it all in as much as you can and say, well, I believe in a big God, so I can handle all of it. Or do you see some, you know, some practical things that you would put in place?
I have to set it aside. There have been numerous times in my adult life, even recently, where I'll get so caught up in what's going on the news, and I'm on my smartphone. You know, I've got the news app, and I'm looking through whatever's going on, and then I'll realize later in the day or the next day that kind of just have this anxious feeling, and I can't really identify what it is, And there have been a number of times I've thought back to, oh, you know what? I read that story about such and such, or, you know, whatever. And I think that's just kind of eating at me. And so I have to be very intentional about putting myself on a news diet. Also, often, I'll say most of the time, when I read a news story on a topic that I'm very familiar with, say the airline industry, almost all the time, the articles are very poorly written. They misconstrue things.
Like fake news?
Like fake news. even with some media outlets that maybe we wouldn't consider fake news. And so if that is true of the few things that I know a fair amount about, most likely that's true of pretty much everything that is written.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, so filtering.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think filtering, but part of that is like you said, setting limits and realizing, just asking, am I reading the news, am I listening to news, am I watching the news way more? Is it inordinate? And as far as the amount being unmatched, my time taking in God's word, in what's true. Am I just, I said, well, I just spent 5 minutes reading my devotional, then I watched the news for but 45 minutes before that, getting ready for work, and then listen on NPR on the way to work, and then watch Fox News when I got home, and then was like, how much different is there when you can't expect to have that so outmatched?
Now, and Babylon Bee is okay, right?
Babylon Bee is totally fine, because that's not fake news. But then I think the other thing is, is that you can go the other extreme and say, well, then I don't want to listen to any news. I don't want to hear about anything because it's going to make me anxious.
Yeah.
Well, then you're running from it. Mm-hmm. And the goal is not to run to it or from it, but to run to God. And so Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So be careful what you fill your mind with, because the very next verse of Philippians 4, verse 8, talks about what we're thinking about. So we're always thinking about problems, always thinking about, like you said, Nathan, that there's so many things we just can't do anything about. We mm-hmm. can't control. And we're saying, well, I just want to focus on those things. Well, that can be foolish to do that to an extent. But everything we do here and do are informed about, turn it into prayer, filter it by God's word, the truth, and lay it before him. Cast all your cares upon me, because God says, because he cares for us. And so we have to be turning it into prayer. And news watching leading to more prayer is a pretty good strategy, I think, to fight it.
Yeah. Steve, anything to add?
Yeah, well, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people here in our church and in our Piney family, but I don't think ever on the podcast about my battle with a sports idolatry. And one of the practical things that I did and try to practice in order to combat that is to make sure that before I ever open the website to the Post-Dispatch sports section, that I have spent time reading the Bible and spent time in prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good way, especially if we are tend to become anxious when we see things in the news, to start with the Bible and start with prayer. Mm-hmm. And that helps us to put those things in the proper perspective.
And sometimes maybe even a fast from those things for a month or so, to see, even mm-hmm. say, you know what, I didn't realize how much time I was giving to it, how much effect it had on my heart, my mind, and my just daily attitude.
Yeah.
And one other thing is to know yourself. You know, Brian, you said that you notice yourself sometimes becoming anxious, mm-hmm. and so you have to go on a diet, mm-hmm. and that's very good advice. If you know that you tend to get anxious, then don't feed those things into your mind. Don't, like you said, don't run from them because of your anxiety, but go to the Word of God and pray and turn those things into prayer. But also just be wise and limit yourself from reading a whole lot, and because you know what's going to happen. And so go on a diet.
So mm-hmm. if you limit yourself in any way, let it be not because God is weak, but because you know you're weak.
That's right.
That you feel your own weakness of, I don't always have the stomach for it. I don't have the mind and the heart right now because of life and what's going on in me to handle it well. So because I trust God, I'm going to limit myself in these things.
Amen.
Just,
So another kind of practical question. How much do you deal with this as much, Steve, at this point in your life, but how much do you bring that to your kids' attention? Like, do your kids have any idea? Well, Brian, you have older kids, so they probably do have some idea of what's going on with, like, world politics and things. But especially maybe for your, you know, younger kids who could understand some things but may not be on news sites or whatever reading these articles, how much of those things do you bring to their attention? I feel like I want my kids to feel a sense of security and not be burdened by the kinds of fears that we're talking about. At the same time, I don't want them to be naive about the fact that we live in a broken world. So just curious what you guys do, or Steve, what you did when you still had your kids in the house.
Honestly, we don't encourage the kids to watch the news with us. Mm-hmm. If we are watching some news thing, we're saying, hey, I want to figure out what's going on with Hurricane Harvey or Irma, or we're trying to figure out what, you know, new scandal is with Trump, or how do you say Vladimir Putin again?
Putin.
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 So, or with, you know, North Korea or whatever, we'll say, you know, if they're standing there, a lot of times our kids think it's boring. They don't want to listen to it. But if news is increasingly been about images and visual news media, not just mm-hmm. hearing words. So sometimes you'll have people just up there talking and they don't want to listen to it. But if they show a picture of some missile being shot up into the air, they're like, oh, what's that?
Right.
So we don't encourage them to watch it with us at their age. My oldest is 10. But they do see things or hear things. And mm-hmm. sometimes we'll talk to them about it and say, you know, as Brian was saying, that's why our hope is not in America. It's not in our president, whoever he may be. It's not in even things going well for us in this lifetime, or as we would hope it to be and expect it to be or want it to be or are used to it as, but that Jesus is our hope. And that talking about the bigness of God, and that my kids love to say stuff like, oh, well, can God do this? And they're like, of course, yeah, can he do this? And I think that's good for them to be thinking about every issue in life and in the world in terms of that's nothing compared to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yeah.
It's easy for them to think that way because it's simple. We think of all the nuances of what that might mean practically day to day, but just give them big picture ideas.
Mm-hmm.
God is big.
Yeah.
He is strong.
Yeah.
And they're nothing compared to him.
Yeah.
Well, as your kids get older, then it's a great opportunity as they become more aware in their teen years, especially their later teen years. They become more aware of world events, of
mm-hmm.
political nature of the world, what's going on in the world. That's a great opportunity then to begin those discussions, or not begin them, but to continue those discussions
further
about
than, yeah.
and continuing to point them to Christ and pointing them to God, pointing them to the God of Isaiah 40, and reminding them that, yes, it's good to become aware of these things. It's good to have a working knowledge of what's going on in the world, but never let that become so big in your mind that God becomes small.
Yeah.
And don't let yourself become anxious about those things. Rather, put your trust and hope in God, because mm-hmm. as you said, Jason, your hope is not in those things. Your hope's not in your security. Your hope's not in your country or your president. Your yeah. hope is in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
For us, we have never really watched news on television that much, so the kids really haven't had much exposure to it. Most of our news we get through the internet, but and we've also talked, Kirsten and I, just very openly in our home about the goings on in the world. And so mm-hmm. you know, when the kids are younger, they will hear, and maybe they understand some of it, maybe they don't. As they've gotten older, so like our three older kids, one of us may say, hey, did you hear about such and such happening? I think it was yesterday we were talking about the nurse that was arrested for mm-hmm. not taking the blood sample, and we'll have a conversation about it. Sometimes, depending on the topic, that will lead to a discussion about that particular story in mm-hmm. light of God's sovereignty. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's just about the story.
Well, I think that sounds probably really beneficial for them to hear news that way, because it's your telling of the
right.
events, not, you know, a spin or a coloring or more detail than they might hear if they were just watching a news story. And then you're able to immediately teach them and say, here's how to think about this
mm-hmm.
from a biblical perspective
yeah.
with God at the center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So cool. Sounds good. I would just mention, and the Piney Pastors podcast has no sponsors, so World News Group does not sponsor this podcast, but I'm going to plug them anyway, because so World Magazine, it's a print and it's online now too, publication, I think bi-weekly. That's every other week, right?
Yeah. I'm never sure.
Yeah.
I'm
and
never
twice
sure
a
what,
week.
Yeah.
But it's every other week it comes out. But then they also have, I think it's WNG.org. They have, it's a Christian publication, but it's world news. That's why it's called World Magazine,
mm-hmm.
From a Christian perspective. And so some of it's just straight reporting. Here's what happened. Some of it is, you know, more editorial, but often there will be, even if it's just straight news, sometimes at the end there will be a sentence or two of shaping worldview. So here's how to think about this story in light of who God is and the hope that we have in Christ.
And on the yeah. other side of that, Al Mohler, president of Southern Seminary, has a podcast called The Briefing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 20 minutes or so. He does it 5 days a week, except for in the summer. I think he's off in the summer. Anyway, his is more Lazy. Commentary on the news. And so he tries to give
yeah.
news and events from the world from a Christian world view. And I found it very helpful at times to when there's big issues or things, whether in the church or in the, you know, church culture or in the world at large, being able to see it and think about it more biblically.
Mm-hmm.
Does Russell Moore have a podcast sort of like Dr. Land used to do?
I think so.
I think so too, yeah. I think that would be helpful.
Never listened to it.
I've never listened to it, but I think it would be
yeah.
good.
Russell Moore, Al Mohler.
ERLC, Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he probably does, and it would be good.
All right, well, I think we're going to wrap it up with that. I hope this has been helpful for everybody.
Take it away, David. Ooh, that was a nice little pop. I'm going to keep that in there.
Just close every time with that.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.